The other thing that's possible is it could be that, depending on the type of confinement that Paul was in, he may not have had a choice but to be on his knees kneeling in some context. But it certainly is speaking of something serious here. Paul is very serious in his prayer, and he has a posture that is passionate. This certainly is an extraordinary prayer. And Paul prays, first of all, when he talks of power, it's power to strengthen us. Verses 16 and 17 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Power to strengthen us. It's important for us to recognize Christ is able to strengthen us because he has an unlimited supply of riches with which to supply us. There's no need for us to be anemic. There's no need for us to be weak. Verse 16 says, out of his glorious riches we are to be strengthened. God is abundant. He is not, some people almost like to have this dualistic view of God and Satan, you know, almost like they're equal powers. That is a completely ungodly, unbiblical, heretical viewpoint. They're not equals in any stretch, in no way, shape, or form. They're even close to equals. Satan is a created being. God is almighty powerful. And we allow ourselves to be beat up by the lesser. We allow Satan to push us around, forgetting that out of his abundant, glorious riches, he will strengthen us. He's stronger, right? We're told greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater, not equal, not less. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God is rich in power, rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in glory, rich in all things, able to give us strength. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Well, that doesn't sound like a weak, poverty-stricken Christian life there, does it? Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? That's not a God withholding from us, is it? Maybe you feel weak this morning. Maybe you need God to strengthen you with power. You need to be encouraged in this prayer this morning. He is willing and he is able. And not only is he willing and able, but he has a method for giving us that power. Paul prays that we will be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit. And so we find that the Holy Spirit is the agent of God's power. Maybe you remember Jesus' words to his disciples before he ascended to the Father. And if you have any of you have a Pentecostal background, then you know Acts 1:8, probably, right? And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and the whole ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that agent of power for us that is available to us. And Paul here really refers to that Holy Spirit power because he says here, prays that we be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. I really believe that in many ways it isn't that we don't have the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about in Romans 8, and that's another side note, but Paul talks about if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we don't belong to him at all. We have the Holy Spirit. But it's almost like a lot of times the church is like sleeping giants. We are massively powerful, but we don't operate in it. We don't act in it. We don't act powerful. We don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't allow him to guide us. We don't talk to him. We don't say, hey, direct me today. We just kind of ignore his presence. You can't be powerful if you ignore your source of power. But we do that. We tend to have that problem, I think. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, but we don't act as if we're aware that it's there. And I want to encourage you. There is power available for you. And in fact, you've already received the Holy Spirit. Depend on Him. Allow Him to give you what you need. And many times I find myself saying, Lord, show me today and show me in this situation by your Holy Spirit what you want me to do. Give me the strength to do it. Guide me, because if you don't, I'm not going to make it. If you don't give me the wisdom I need, if you don't give me the power I need, if you don't give me the strength I need, I'm not going to make it. That's a good admission on our part, right? And it allows Him to work. Secondly, we see the power to know Christ's love. Let's look at verses 17, 18, and 19. Paul says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," here we go again, more power, "may have power together with all the saints," power to do what? "To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." I like that. I really like that a lot. I love, first of all, just in the first glance of those first few verses, I love this idea that it talks about how long and how wide and long and high and deep. What is he trying to say? Well, let's analyze it. We have the dimension of this and that. No. What's he saying? Any way you slice it, in any dimension possible, he's bigger, greater, more awesome than you can imagine. How long and wide and high and deep. His love surpasses everything. He's awesome. But it says here in the end of verse 17, that you being rooted and established in love. Boy, that's key. Pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. You know, it's a dangerous thing. Someone who's not rooted and established in love having power. Somebody who has power but isn't rooted and established in love, that guy can hurt a lot of people. He says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," saints this morning, make sure that before any kind of power is exerted on your part, you're rooted and established in love. It's coming from a heart of love. If it's not, let's not have it. Pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Jesus said, "It is our love for one another that would let the world know that we are His disciples." He says, if they see the way you love each other, they're going to say, "Oh man, something's with those guys. They must know Jesus. Something's different about those guys." Dr. Barnhouse wrote that love is intrinsic to all the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22. He said, "Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. And faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. There are no fruits of the Spirit without love." Isn't that neat? So important for us to understand this concept of love. Because Paul's whole theme and the whole epistle and talking about the mystery of the body of Christ, which is what he talks about in Ephesians, it all has to do with the love of Christ and the love we have for one another. We are to be rooted and established in love. It is foundational to who we are. It should be our lifestyle. It should be habit-forming. It's the very thing that makes us different from the world. Genuine love. How does the world operate? In vengeance. Do I struggle with that? Yes, I do. Things happen and you want to lash out in vengeance. And God says, uh-uh. You belong to me. You operate in love. Where does that love come from? This is important. Folks, this is so critical here, and I alluded to it earlier, but the world gets this wrong. The world has a misunderstood concept of love, and it is this some kind of a strange, nameless force. But they don't want to say Christ. But Paul says, what is this love he's talking about? that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. All right, he talks about the love of Christ and describes it as a love that surpasses knowledge. Can I just ask you, why in the world would you want an inferior quality love when you could have the love that surpasses knowledge? Why would you settle for something less than that when we have offered to us the love that is Christ? There's nothing better. And the world says, you know, as long as you have good feelings about something or whatever, you know, and it could be Buddha or it could be this, or, you know, do some good things and you'll have this warm feeling of love. Please, I'll take the love that surpasses knowledge. That's what I'd like to sign up for right here. I would like to know the love of Christ, this love that surpasses knowledge. Why? So that I may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Can we ever grasp completely Christ's love? Totally? Not in this lifetime. In fact, I think that's one of the reasons we need all of eternity to search the depths of Christ's love. We're going to need a whole eternity to do that. It's never going to end. It surpasses knowledge. And Paul prays that the believers would have power to know the love of Christ. What's the end result of that? Being filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Boy, that sounds awesome. And again, people will talk about being filled with an understanding of God, but they leave Christ out of the equation. You can't do that. You want to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, then you need to know the love of Jesus Christ. A love that fills us with all the fullness of God. It's really a love relationship that we have with Christ, isn't it? It is a love relationship. It's initiated first and foremost by Him towards us. He offers His love to us. We respond the rest of our lives, daily, in gratitude, loving Him, serving Him. Now, before we move on to talk about the last part of this prayer, I just want to look on one small phrase in verse 18. Let's go back there for a quick second. It says that I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That phrase I'm looking at is together with all the saints. You really want to know the love of Christ. You really want to feel and experience the love of Christ. You can't do it by yourself. Paul says, I want you together with all the saints to know and experience this love. We need each other. We need to be with each other. It isn't because Christians are weird that we hang out and do stuff and have fellowship and potlucks and come to church on Sundays and go to the pastor's house and cut his wood. I mean, how did that sneak in there? Never mind. We don't do that just because we're weird. Well, we might be weird. I'm weird. But we do that because we understand something. There's a dynamic that happens when God's people come together, amen? We begin to tangibly experience the love of Christ. I see the love of Christ in Steve and in Lori and in sometimes in Tom and in Matthias. I'm kidding, Tom. You know, we begin to tangibly experience the love of Christ because we see that love in one another, right? And Paul says, I pray that you discover this together with all the saints. One author wrote it this way. He said, we can only come to a better, fuller understanding of His love in community. This happens when we sit under the preaching of His Word. It happens when we study it together and discuss it. It happens when we share our knowledge of God's love with each other. It happens when we observe it in our brothers and sisters. It happens as our hearts go upward in the worship of Him. We need each other in order to comprehend His Word. Do you want to have more power to know Christ's love? Don't be a stranger. Don't be a lone ranger. Be actively a part. when God's people can come together, be a part of it. In fact, it's one of the reasons why we would say, bring friends with you. Why? So that they can experience that same powerful love, so that they can begin to see what it means to know Christ. How are they? It's one thing for them to see it in you one-on-one, individually in a workplace. And that's fine, and they need to see that testimony and that example. But boy, there's something that happens. They come with you to church, and they see how you interact and all the other people interact as God's people loving each other, and they say, wow, this is genuine, this is real, this is, I want some of this. They need to see that. The last thing we see here is power to be like Christ. That seems like quite the task there, doesn't it? Verses 20 and 21. I mean, this, I don't know if you're ready for this, but you're going to be encouraged, pretty sure. 20 and 21, let's take a look. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do some of us need to be reminded that he's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine? Do we sometimes have an attitude that says, I don't think he's even listening, and I don't think he's going to do anything about it, and I don't even think he can? Maybe we don't say that. Maybe we do. But what does this say? Because this is what counts. Yeah, I know what my heart struggles with, and I know what stupid things I say, but what's more important is what the Word of God says, because it's forever true. His power at work within us, end of verse 20, making us more like him. We need to be reminded this morning that God is doing a work within you. Sometimes we forget that, or we think, you know, it's not moving fast enough, so he must have forgotten about me, or he's in some way failing in this job here, and he's not finishing the work. He is. I've started a lot of projects. It might be a guy thing, I'm not totally sure. Guys, help me, please. It'll help me at home. Are there any other guys here this morning? You've started projects, but you have not finished them. T.S., you liar. I've been in your home. God is not like that. Amen? He begins a good work. He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. His word says that. He doesn't start a project, say, yeah, I'm done with you, I'm going to move on to something else. It's not going to work out. He doesn't do that. It says, he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to say amen to that. It might just be me. That's an awesome thing. He will finish the job. I've got 25 jobs I may never finish, but he's going to finish this job. He said so. God is doing a work within us. And we need to remember that he's doing the work. There's a lot of self-help gurus out there, and really there's a lot of self-help preachers, and they call themselves preachers. I just don't really think they're preaching. I think they're just self-help talking. They're motivational speakers, but they're not preachers in a sense. The church is not a self-help organization. Somebody hopefully understands. I'm not talking about anything specific. Maybe you need to tell somebody else this. The church is not a self-help organization. It is a Christ-help organization. You don't change yourself. You don't make yourself better. You don't save yourself. You don't forgive yourself. You don't improve yourself. He does all that. And the posture is one of kneeling and bowing before him and saying, Lord, I surrender all of my efforts. I need your efforts working through me. It's his work that he does. It's not a self-help organization. It is a Christ-help organization. We depend completely upon him and his power at work within us. Now, listen to what Paul says to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory because we are so good and our efforts are pleasing to him. It's not how that verse ends. I love that look on Tom's face. Is kind of wrinkled up his eyes and no? That's good. Let me read it again. In fact, turn there if you would. This is one you might want to scribble in your own Bible, not in the pew Bible. Tom. No scribbling in the pew Bible. Just because Matthias does it doesn't make it right. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Look at this because, folks, this we, it includes us. And look at how we are described. Okay? This also might encourage you. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Ah, where does this transformation into his likeness come from? From the Lord who is the Spirit. That's good stuff. And I want to ask you, do you, when you look in the mirror, do you say, I'm reflecting the Lord's glory, and I am being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory? You look at yourself that way? Do you view yourself that way? No? Then you need to start. Hear me? You need to start. This is what Paul says. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's the enemy that tells you you're no good. It's the enemy that tells you you're nothing. It's the enemy that says God's not going to forgive you this time. It's the enemy that says, I can't believe you did that again, loser. I don't know. The enemy calls me loser. I don't know what he calls you. But what does the Word of God say? Folks, again, remember, it does not matter what the enemy, the liar, says. It matters what God says. And God says, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We can get happy. His power at work within us. This is where it comes to that other passage I already mentioned. We look at ourselves and we'll say, but I don't see the likeness of Christ there. I don't see that I'm being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. It doesn't seem like it's happening. Then you need to go back and remind yourself of Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, Paul says, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I don't really care what you see in the mirror. I don't really care what you see when you look at your life. You need to say, Lord, I need to trust that you're doing a good work and you know what you're doing. Now help me to cooperate. God finishes what he starts. His power is at work within us. He is transforming us into the likeness of Christ. And it's not happening because of your holiness or your righteousness or your legalism or your abilities. I was listening to, how many of you have heard of Steve Brown? Steve Brown is a Christian teacher. He's a seminary professor, and he's got a podcast that I listen to. He's on the radio. But he said something about, I wish I could remember what he said, something about basically church people, or a lot of church people that do a lot of good things are just really unpleasant, you know. It's the ones that think, well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I do this, and I do that. Well, you really just, that's tough to be around. It really is. Because there's a lot of I, and it needs to be all him. You know, Paul says, we talked about this last week as well, how Paul describes himself, chiefest of sinners, least of all the apostles, right? He says, man, you want to look at perfection, don't look this way, look that way. those who get it are not the ones that go out and criticize everybody else. Well, you're not toeing the line here, and you're not as holy as that person. You should be doing this, and why aren't you doing that? But the ones that are really getting it are the ones that say, you know what? You're right. I'm not cutting it right here, and I've got failure here, and I've made mistakes here. But somehow or another, God has looked down, and he has said, that one's mine, mistakes and all. I've purchased him with my blood. He belongs to me. And the areas that are weak, the areas that are dirty, the areas that need help, I've begun the good work, and I'm not done yet, but I'm going to finish it. And that one there is going to shine for all eternity, because I know what I'm doing. Power to transform us into his likeness. His power is at work within you. Be patient. Don't beat yourself up. And don't let the enemy beat you up either. Remind yourself that you are being transformed into his likeness. He who began a good work will finish it. Isn't this a great prayer? Be encouraged by this prayer. And I would encourage you too, if you may want to take a week, every single day for a week, make this your devotions. Read through this prayer slowly, maybe a few times. And allow Paul to pray for you this week. Wouldn't that be cool? It's right here for us. Paul prays for the believers that they will have power to be strengthened. Remember that power comes from the Holy Spirit. Learn to daily recognize and depend on his power. Say, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, show me what I need to see today. Empower me to do what you're calling me to do today. Because you've given me your Spirit so that I can be empowered. Secondly, power to know Christ's love. Remember that love is understood in community, no lone rangers. And as we are together with all the saints, we will then tangibly experience and understand Christ's love. And finally, power to be like Christ. How is that possible? Because it's his power at work within us. He is transforming us into his likeness, and he will finish what he started. I was praying the other day, and I said, Lord, help me to be faithful with your faithfulness. Help me to love with your love. Help me to forgive with your forgiveness. Help me to be strengthened with your strength. Do you see what all that is? Everything that I could possibly have and do comes from him. If I'm going to love in any capacity that's going to be acceptable to him, it has to be with his love that he gives. My love is going to be what? Fleshly and selfish, self-seeking, and that's not going to be pleasing. I need to love with his love. I need to forgive with his forgiveness. Try forgiving with your forgiveness, by the way, and see if the other person feels forgiven. We need to forgive with his forgiveness. We need to be faithful with his faithfulness. Very important. How are we to be like Christ? It is his power at work within us, transforming us into his likeness. He will finish what he started. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these powerful words that we have in this passage in Ephesians. We thank you for this prayer that Paul prayed, knowing, Lord, that it was your Holy Spirit that guided him and gave him the words to this prayer. And so he prayed as you prayed through him. We feel that this morning and experience that. We feel that Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, encouraging us, lifting us up. Lord, help us to be encouraged today to know that it is your love that just transforms us and sets us free. Lord, you desire for us to know more and more of that love, to grow in the understanding and knowledge of that love so we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Help us to be reminded, Lord, that it is you that are working within us, transforming us into your likeness. And the work that you've begun, you haven't forgotten about it. And you will carry on that work until it's complete in the day that we are face to face with you. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you to join us downstairs for coffee in a little bit, or tea, or hot chocolate.